Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, it is good to be in the Lord's house to honor Him and recognize how good He is. And really the idea about surrender, Brother Todd just spoke about, is what we want to do. We want to be a faithful people in the Word of God, living out the Word of God, and have a great ministry. And so God's called us all to be part of that ministry. And so today is really about how can you strengthen your ministry and do the things that God desires for you. So let me read to you out of the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think I'm going to read 1 through 10. The Bible says this: "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body of the dying Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Father, we come before you to say thank you, Lord, for the gospel that gives hope and life. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you've entrusted to every person that has simply believed in you. Lord, I pray this morning that we would be mindful of that ministry, that we'd be mindful of our salvation, mindful of the grace given us, and we would simply live out that faith that we may honor you in all things. Lord, I pray that you give me words to speak this morning. Give me a focus. Give me a clear word. Help me say the things that are needful and helpful. Thank you, Lord, for that promise that when your word is read, it'll not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, I hope you had a great Christmas and a great time of Christmas season. You know, we had Thanksgiving where we eat all that good food, and then Christmas gets here. And so it's time to turn the page. And so I want to read a poem that I found some years ago. It says, "'Twas the month after Christmas. 'Twas the month after Christmas, and all through the house, nothing fit me, not even a blouse." By the way, I didn't write this, amen. "The cookies I've nibbled, the eggnog I taste, as the holiday parties had gone to my waist. When I got on the scales, there rose such a number. When I walked to the store, less I walked than a lumber. I remember the marvelous meals I'd prepared, the gravies, the sauces, the beef nicely rared, the soft drinks and the rum balls, the bread and the cheese, and the way I'd never said, 'No, thank you, please.' Then as I dressed myself in my husband's old shirt, I prepared once again to do battle with dirt. I said to myself as only as I can, 'You can't spend the winter disguised as a man. So away with the last sour cream dip, get rid of the fruitcake, every cracker and chip. Every last bit of food that I like must be banished till all the ounces have vanished. I won't have a cookie, not even a lick. I want only to chew a long celery stick. I won't have a hot biscuit or a cornbread pie. I'll munch on a carrot and quietly cry. I'm hungry, I'm lonesome, life is a bore. But isn't that what January is for? Unable to giggle, no longer a riot. Happy New Year to all, and to all a good diet." Now, we recognize that the idea about physical shape, and yes, sometimes we overdo it, and we sit back in January and say, "Oh my goodness, what have we done? We need to get back, get on the straight and narrow, get back in exercise, get back in shape," which is great. I like what the Bible says about that. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profits little," or you could say a little, "but godliness is profitable to all things." I wonder today, will we recognize not just our physical shape, but our spiritual shape? We want to recognize that God wants us to be in spiritual shape so we can do what God wants us to do. We want to be in good spiritual shape so we can run the race for our Lord above. So this morning, I want to speak to you about our ministry. Being in physical shape leads us to live a life of ministry and doing those things that God has called us to do. So notice the first thing I want you to see: we must recognize our ministry. If you want to have a great ministry, if you want to do what God wants you to do, you've got to recognize what that ministry is. We must recognize our ministry. Again, one of the great keys to serving is to recognize what God has entrusted to you. So we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. And so it is a fundamental idea that we all have a ministry in Christ Jesus. God has given us something to do. And so we need to understand where this ministry comes from. So notice this. Ministry must begin by the Spirit of God. Ministry must begin by the Spirit of God. If you read verse 1 again, it says, therefore, if you back up, because when you see therefore, you back up and see what it's therefore. Chapter 3 has a lot of things about the Spirit. Matter of fact, I think it's verse 8 says, how shall not the ministration or the administration of the Spirit. So we recognize that all of our ministry, all of our gifts, comes by the Spirit of God. Just like our salvation. I want you to recognize, just as ministry starts with the Lord, so does our salvation, and vice versa. You'll remember that salvation is not an idea of just doing good. Salvation is not just going to church. Salvation is not just identifying as a believer because we're in a Christian nation. Salvation occurs when you're convicted by the Spirit. You recognize you're a sinner. You call out to the Lord, and Christ saves you. And so it begins just as our salvation. It begins by the Spirit for our ministry. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, for we have all made to drink into one Spirit. Romans 8:14, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There's a tremendous amount of verses that speak about how we are by the Spirit. So I want you to recognize this, that we must have the Spirit in us to do the will of God. Now somebody's going to say, well, can you be out of the will of God? Can you be a lost person and still have a ministry? And the answer is yes, but listen to me. It will not profit you or others eternally if you don't have the Spirit in you. Matter of fact, Jeremiah said this of King Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah 43:10 says, and saying to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and he will set his thorn upon these stones that I've hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. Nebuchadnezzar was a wicked, vile man that God used to accomplish a ministry to subdue the Jewish nation and bring them back to where they needed to be, to also to fight off Egypt. And so we know that sometimes unholy people can have a ministry in one sense, but it does not profit them eternally. Salvation is required for a God-given ministry that is eternally profitable for you and for others. And so just like that, we're saved by the Spirit, and we have a ministry, and we must recognize it does come by the Spirit. And so we are given particular things called gifts that we are using for our ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 says this, wherefore he said, when I ascend up into the high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, For we are many members in one body. All members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. And everyone having members of one another, notice this, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And so notice this. We're given a ministry, or we're given the tools to carry out our ministry. We call them spiritual gifts. And so ministry begins by the Spirit of God, but also ministry is about serving. God gives you a gift and expects you to do something with that. Again, verse 1, therefore, seeing we had this ministry. That word ministry is the same word we get our word deacon from, diakonos. It means to do something. The basic idea of deacon, or the word deacon, is to stir the dust, to move, to do something. You ever been to I was in shock. We went to North Carolina, and not shocked that Marion likes to shop, amen. We're in all these little shops, and we go upstairs, and they had this huge, in one of these little stores, this huge arrangement of fake flowers. Now, there was something on those flowers that I've never seen before. There was no dust. Have you ever seen fake flowers? They always collect dust everywhere. Not these. Somebody had been busy moving that stuff around. Here's what I'm saying. Sometimes we, as God's people, we've been given ministry, but we just sit and collect dust. that is not what God wants to do. He wants us to do something with the gift that He's given us. Every believer has been baptized by the Spirit and given a gift to use. Every man a minister. You say, what is my gift? Well, I'm not sure what your gift is, but I do know this. Every person is given a gift that needs to be used, and they're all different, given to different people. And so, I just got some good stuff I want to kind of relate to the gifts of the Spirit. One may be this, amen? Boy, this fits my wife's hand right there, amen. I like that. Now, she's going to use that for a certain purpose to do things around the house, to sweep. She uses that to build the house in one sense. Now, this is a little different gift. This is a level. Don't hit your fellow with that, amen. These are varied. They're different, completely unreal. They're all kinds of gifts. I'll give you right here, amen. The power. All kind of things. I know you say, well, this is kind of crazy. This is kind of a heavy thing. Sorry about that. But God gives us all these things to use for a particular reason, to use for building and encouraging others, to do something for the kingdom of God. Everybody is being used for these things. You can use this to help my wife sometime. Now, it's all different. And so sometimes we're given our gift, and we don't see this. Y'all just hold on to your gifts. I'm gonna get them back. Amen. But sometimes we see our gift not as this, but as this. You're like, oh, really, Lord? This is what you have given me? This is my gift? When we develop our gift, it becomes something great. So what happens is, sometimes others like this, that we're given a gift, and we think, well, I wanted the gift of sweeping, and so now we're trying to sweep with a gift that does not work so good. I'm telling you, there are churches today that are filled with people that everybody has gifts, but some people only want to use one gift for this and not that. God's called us all to use our gifts. Hang on to those. I'm going to be back. Amen. In about 70 years, maybe. Everybody gets a gift, and you can kind of set them down, rest them, do what you want to. I want you to see, sometimes those gifts, those tools, sometimes are used in the house, in the church house. I'm telling you, we have all kind of things. Man, you can use your gift in Awanas. You can use your gift in Sunday school. You can use your gift in fellowship. You can use your gift in all kinds of ways. If God's given you the gift, use it there. Sometimes He lets us use our gifts out of the church house. You know, Jesus sometimes fed the multitudes far from the synagogues. Some of you have great ministries outside this house. You do all kinds of things for the kingdom of God. If God has gifted you that way, use that tool for the kingdom of God. He wants you to recognize it's about serving. It's about using those things. It's about doing what God wants you to do. So ministry must begin by the Spirit of God. Ministry is about serving. But thirdly, ministry is done without stopping. Read verse 1 again. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now I'm telling you, you're going to read on down a little bit, man, how ministry can be hard. Ministry can take a lot out of you. But here he says, faint not. It means NKAO. It means quitting based on discouragement. He says, we're not going to quit based on being discouraged. I can just tell you right now, toting that sledgehammer around all day, you can get discouraged in a hurry. Toting that shovel around all day, digging those ditches, can be a discouragement in a hurry. But God's got a plan for it, and when God's got a plan for it, man, how good it is. Here's the problem. Ministry can be super hard when you do it in your power and your expectations. Let me say that again. Ministry gets hard when you do it in your power and your expectation. I hear, and I'm not knocking other pastors, but I hear them all the time saying, man, I am just burnt out. Why? If you'll do it in God's power and in God's expectations. Let me just tell you, I don't have any expectation for myself. I'm not trying to build a church of 1,000. I'm just trying to be faithful to what God wants me to do. That's all I'm doing. I have no expectation. I'm not trying to move from church to church to build to get the biggest church. I'm not. I'm just doing what God wants me to do. And so, my friends, when we begin to look at our own power and our own expectations, man, how terrible it is. We will be burnt out in a hurry. Luke 18 says this, and he spake a parable and then to this end, that men always ought to pray and not to faint. In other words, don't lose your motivation. Focus on what God wants you to do. Run the race that is set before you. Hebrews 12 says that in the verse, let us run with patience the race that is set before you. And so what's he saying? Take your tools and do something good. 2 Thessalonians 3:13, but ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this to give us power. And God shall be able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, having always all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let me just tell you, if we'll do it God's way and let God empower us, he'll give us the strength to continue on. We will not faint. We will not get discouraged and quit. Now, let me remind you, there is some allowances in the way we go. Now, I want you to understand, sometimes we get a little older, we have a change in speed. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm getting a little older, and I hate to admit that, but I'm not nearly as fast as I used to be. I don't run as fast. I don't walk as fast. I don't lift as much. There's a change in speed. That's okay. Run the race with patience. Sometimes in our ministry, there's a change in location. Maybe you used to keep nursery, and you can't pick up those babies no more. That's fine. Use that gift of nurturing someplace else. A change of location. Sometimes it's a change in function. God gives you a different gift. Whatever it is, don't quit. Whatever it is that God's put in your heart, still do. So let me ask you, what can you do with what God's given you? What are you willing to do with what God has given you? Why aren't you doing like you should be with what God has given you? If you want to be a strong believer this morning, recognize your ministry and just do it. We must recognize our ministry. But secondly, we must resist the things that will ruin our ministry. Again, your ministry is God-given, but you can hinder that. Matter of fact, you can make a real mess out of ministry. How to get past that? Well, understand first that you are forgiven. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes the old devil slips up beside me and says, do you remember what you did 40 years ago? Do you remember that time? I said, oh, yeah, I do. Shame on you. You have no right to be in ministry. But you know what the Bible says? We are forgiven. Notice this. Verse 1, at the end of that verse says, therefore, we're seeing to have this ministry. As we have received mercy, we faint not. Man, one of the greatest things that helps ministry is to recognize my past, the past. It is done with. It is forgiven. We have received mercy. God has simply allowed me to get past that. You know, the Bible says if we'll confess our sins in 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Man, can you imagine what the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2 Corinthians, felt about this? A persecutor of the church. Can you imagine how the devil kind of slid up beside him and said, man, you remember that person you hauled off to jail? You remember the coach you held as they stoned that man named Stephen? Can you imagine the guilt he must have felt as he persecuted the church? He writes in Galatians 1:13, for you have heard of my conversations in times past of the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Can you imagine the guilt that he had? But somehow he got over it. Why? He recognized he was forgiven. I'm telling you, my friends here, if you've been bought by Christ Jesus, you are forgiven. Your past is done with, and you can serve an almighty God. I wrote this down some time ago. When Satan reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future, and he will go on. Amen? Let him go. We need to be able to forgive ourselves and forgive others. Understand forgiveness. Secondly, not just understand that you're forgiven, but don't be fake. Verse 2 says, but I've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Two words there, dishonesty and craftiness. He's trying to show the hidden things and the things that are not right. And we could talk about a whole bunch of things. Let me just hit two. One is sin in the life of the church. Paul already dealt with that in the book of 1 Corinthians about how there was sin in the pew there. We need to get rid of those things that are not right. Sometimes I see people live a double life. We've all heard about the guy that's a mass murderer, and they interviewed his next-door neighbor, and the next-door neighbor says, he was such a nice guy. He was until he started killing all these people. Sometimes they're double-life Christians. They are saints on Sunday, but a prolific sinner on Monday through Saturday. He says, rebuke that. Get away from that. Get away from the dishonesty that is out there. Live a righteous life. But also, the secret agenda, not walking in craftiness. That word craftiness is panurgia. It means like a peddling for personal gain. Church, religion has become big business. I'm telling you, it has become this idea that people are making money over religion. And so we need to make sure we do these things in an honest way. I think I've told you the story about the little boy that was in Walmart. He was crying, says, where's my mommy? I need my mommy. And so people were coming by trying to soothe him. So they were handling nickels and dimes and quarters. Finally, one of the associates found him, says, we found your mom. She's on her way. He said, shh, I've got a good thing going on right here. Don't tell anybody. Sometimes people use religion just like that. Before we kind of knock that, I wonder why you're here today. Some come for social interaction. Some come for respect from peers or family. Some come for positions. Some come from jobs. We should be here today in honesty and in spiritual truth to worship the Savior and encourage others to do the same. So don't be fake. Thirdly, don't handle the word of God fraudulently. So he says, middle of verse 2, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There's a reason why he says that the word of God is very important. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm telling you, there's so many reasons we could talk about this. I'm just going to give you a few how we ought to make sure we're rightly dividing the word of truth, that we're not handling the word of God deceitfully. Make sure when you teach something, it is always in context. Make sure that you recognize the right words. Make sure that you make this word of God above everything else. It is something that surely is good. Why? Because it's the word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It is the word of God that gives us hope. And we're called this word, the truth. He says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we're sanctified by the truth. Other places we are to obey the truth. Some places it says live by the truth. We are set free by the truth. We are saved by the truth. Jesus was the truth. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So I wonder today, are we truly recognizing this idea of the word of God? Are we living that word out? Are we sharing that word as we should? Is there anything that is holding us back in this word? Are we doing those things that are right? We must resist the things that will ruin our ministry. Notice the third thing. Not just recognize your ministry, not just resist the things that will ruin your ministry, but thirdly, we must relay the gospel of Christ. We must relay it to this lost world. So notice some things about how we relate. One, there must be a humbleness of the servant. He says in verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. I want you to understand that we are to deliver from a humble vessel, that we are to deliver in such a way that we don't preach ourselves, but we humble ourselves. He speaks about the servants, and that is doulos, that is the house servant, that is a low servant. And so we are to carry the word of God with a humble heart. Matter of fact, he says in verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So he speaks about the treasure, that's the gospel, in earthen vessels. And he makes a point about who we truly are. Let me speak to you about the earthen vessel for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. See, the vessel of gold and silver, those are the things that the food is served on, but the vessels of earth are what the garbage is carried out with. all he's saying is there is nothing special about us, but everything about the Word of God. I'm telling you, today we see this society that really lifts up. I'm not knocking preachers, but sometimes it's more about their suits. It's more about the gold and the silver and the jewelry and all those things rather than the Word of God. Oh, my friends, we ought to be a humble people and recognize we should lift the Word of God, not ourselves. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, "You are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you are manifest declared to be the epistle of God, of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Another way, we need to recognize that God has placed this word in us. Again, it is not about us. Do you remember the parable of the sower? The parable of the sower shows this guy sowing the seeds of the kingdom. You know, there's something neat about the parable of the sower. What do you know about the man that sows the seed? We don't know if he's tall or short, wide or thin. We don't know if he's right-handed or left-handed. We don't know what or anything about him. Why? It is not important. It is the seed and the ground which is. All I'm trying to say is we ought to be a humble people, recognize Christ has called us to be a servant of his, to share the Word of God. We should be humble, but also know this, not just the humbleness of the servant, but the honoring of the Savior. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Why? He has all power, all wisdom, all authority. He can heal, he can help. He alone brings salvation. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given by men whereby we must be saved." Can I say the one who preaches has no power, but what he preaches has all power and authority. That name is Jesus. So now I wonder today, notice what it says there about our life. I wonder, do we share the gospel as we should? I wonder, are we doing those things? Notice verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them." That's telling me that if my life is not what it should be, humble and honoring God, my life is going to hinder or hide the gospel of Christ. If God has given me the gospel, that treasure in earthen vessels, and I promote the earthen vessel instead of the treasure, it's going to be hid to a lot of people. We are called to promote Christ, not ourselves. Well, here's the last thing I want you to see. We must recognize our ministry. We must resist the things that ruin our ministry. We must relay the gospel of Christ. But fourthly, we must realize our reward. I want to jump all the way to verse 14. It says there, "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you." I don't want to make a stretch here, but I think what he's saying is there's a day coming when the Lord's going to raise you up. You're going to breathe your last breath, or the rapture's going to come, or whatever you want to, how you ever want to deal with it. You're going to stand before the Lord one day. He has a day prepared for that. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, "As is appointed to me once to die, but after this the judgment." Let me read that again. "And as is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." I'm telling you, God has a day plan for you to stand before him, a reservation for you to be before him. But notice the next thing, our reward. So we may have 50 years from now, we may have 5 years from now, we may have 5 days, we may have 5 minutes, but sooner or later, we're going to stand before him, and then we will have our reward. Verse 16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For light is our affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory." I read those verses to show you that, yes, it's going to be a hard life at times. But one day when you stand before him, when you meet your reservation, he's going to look at your life and you will give an account and be rewarded based on what you've done with the things that he's given you. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear for the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to done, whether it be good or bad." One day, You're going to stand before him. You're going to say, let me have that gift you were given. How did you do with it? Man, here's the gift I gave you 50 years ago. What'd you do with it? Here's the gift I gave you. What'd you do with it? Here's the gift I gave you. What'd you do with it? Here's the gift I gave you. Different from all the others. What did you do with it? Here's the gift I gave you. What did you do with it? Somebody hid their gift. Amen. Here's the gift I gave you. What did you do with it? Everybody's going to stand before the Lord one day. Every believer. And you're going to hold out the gift that he gave you. And you're going to say, what did you do with it? Why not commit the day that I will live for the Lord? I will use the gift he has given me to the best of my ability. So when I stand before him and he says, what did you do with it? I say, I served you. And hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a moment, bow your head. Just remember to think about your life. Maybe you want to fast forward to that day you stand before him and recognize there is a reservation and there will be a reward handed out. Recognize you've got a little time to use your gift. Some years, some decades, maybe some months, maybe some hours. God's entrusted to you the ministry by the Spirit of God. Will you be faithful or not? Today it starts with the idea of salvation. If you're not saved, why not today? Why not get on the path? Why not use what God has given you, his Son, Christ Jesus, for salvation? Call on the name of the Lord today. Others that are here saved, make a commitment to serve him. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to forgive yourself for your past. Maybe you need to get past some things. Maybe you need to ask the Lord to recharge your batteries. Maybe you feel burnt out because the expectations you had placed is not being met. Just remember, you're called to be a witness, to share God's love, to be faithful. That's all he's asking. And by that, like other people have done, it will change the world. God's given you a gift. Will you use it? Father, we come before you. We say thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. You've entrusted us with so much. Help us, O Lord, to simply do the best of our abilities, empowered by you and your Spirit to do your will. Use us, O Lord, to make a difference in the lives of others as you have made a difference in us. Bless the ministry here. Help us in the name of Jesus. Amen.